Morning, everyone. Happy New Year to you all, people that I haven't seen. This morning, I'm going to be speaking on being a difference maker. God is calling us all in our lives, and especially in 2015, to bring change, make a difference in the different areas that He's placed you in. But I was a little bit concerned preparing, because Andre and Sonica, as you know, in the last month or so, have given us a game plan for over December. Not so. A spiritual game plan to keep us focused. So they must be very worried about me that they asked me to preach today. So the whole of Christmas and all of New Year, I was focused on what I'm going to say this morning. That's a joke, by the way. But I'm really excited to share the message that God's laid on my heart. And you know, the new year starts. 2015 is a year of a new beginning. You know, in Genesis, God talks about in the beginning. And I believe God, beginnings, new years are important to God. Seasons are important to God. Because we each have the ability to make a difference. God has given us a unique ability to make a difference. And that's not the person next to you, that is you. Each and every one of you. So what I thought we'll do this morning, just as a little bit of interaction, is we know we start the new year with new year resolutions, not so. Or we can term them maybe new year visions, something like that. So I know a few of you, so if you're not going to come up when I ask you, I'm going to point you out to come up. Only jokes. But I wanted us just to quickly, just as the interactive, and you're going to get a reward. I like to start my sermons with something sweet. And it's not a lint, like Sonica normally gives away. So it was a heavy Christmas and New Year, so it's an error. But you know, we are divided into body, mind, soul, spirit. You know, body, mind, spirit. So I thought just if anyone would like to say what their New Year resolution is for body. I know what mine is, because I've got the Banting book here. Okay, come up, please, and just share. It can just be a few seconds. She's really desperate need of a chocolate.
I want to eat less sugar.
Then anyone with the mind, business strategy or something with the mind, something that you're thinking of.
I just want to sharpen up on some music theory, scales, those things. That's very intellectual. Not that important.
Yeah, I thought I could breathe in these sessions of interactive, but I can't. And the last one, the spirit. Anything, any goal that you believe God's given you or something that He's highlighted to you in your spiritual walk?
I want a chocolate. I'll share about this later in the year, but I want to become a revival. That's what I want.
I mean, and just to start, my first one about the outer appearance, and you know, God's not concerned about the outer appearance, and I say amen to that. But He's Banting, so that is one of my New Year resolutions, is to be on this planet longer than what I would be if I stay the weight that I am. But you know, New Year resolutions are important. But no matter what we think about the outside New Year resolution or your mind or your business, God's worried about your heart. He wants you to make an inward resolution towards Him. He's concerned about your inside. And you know, God sent the flood in Noah's time. Why? For a new beginning. And I thank God that He doesn't do that to us. That He sends the waters. But God is a God of new beginnings and new seasons, like I just said. And I believe dates are important, and hence my message, 2015, is a year, I believe, of significance. And you may say to me, why do you think it's more significant than a year before? But I believe that God has a plan and purpose for this year. It's a significant plan and purpose for us to bring His kingdom. And that could be in your workplace, Southernwood that we're praying for, the the whole world. We're sending out mission teams. He wants to bring his kingdom. He wants to bring the people of God together. Start training his army to take back the world and to look for souls and people that don't know him, that haven't had the same opportunities as us to hear about Jesus Christ. So the Bible is full of stories of new seasons and new beginnings. If we just look at the movie that's on now, Exodus, who's been to see Exodus? It's a story of a new beginning, not so. God's nation, the Israelites, it was a new beginning. They were drawn out of Egypt. And that's important to God, that we seek him in each and every new season. Corrie ten Boom, who knows Corrie ten Boom? She said the following: never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. I want to just repeat that. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. God knows your tomorrows. He knows 2015. I've put a piece of paper on each of your chairs. And that represents a new year. There's nothing written on there. Do you mind if I take my blazer off? You know, God blesses us with wives. She said, you are crazy to wear a blazer. And I was stubborn. I said, no, I have to look smart. But I'm taking a bit of pressure with the heat. While preparing and praying to the Lord about this New Year's message, God took me to a scripture in Isaiah. Isaiah 43:18-19. If you've got your Bibles, you can open up there. And this was, Prophet Isaiah was calling the nation of Judah, Israel, back to God by prophesying over them of God's mercy and love. And the scripture says the following. It says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wastelands. Forget the former things. How many times in our lives do we not forget the former things? We make New Year's resolutions. We don't go through with them. And we don't forget it. We hold it against ourselves. We need to forget the past. Forget your failings. Forget the areas that you've missed the boat. And look to the new. Because God wants to do a new thing. It's like bubbling up before it bubbles over. Let's get in there. Anton, if you can come up, I ask Stephen and Brett. Let's give them a hand. Okay, Anton, you're going to stand at the bottom, yeah? Stephen, Brett, come up here. Now, in our lives, there's a lot of the time things hold us back. And we start a new year by carrying baggage from the previous year, not so. It could be failures. It could be about missed opportunities. Could be business ventures that we never went into. There could be many things that hold us back from walking into the new year free. So if we see Antonia, you can walk nice and freely now. Not so. He's entering the year. Come back. You're looking good, brother. Okay. But then we can also choose, just stand facing the audience. We can also choose to, whoa, you're too heavy. We can also choose to just go into the year carrying the baggage. I'm going to jump on and just hold these legs. Okay, one, two, three. So we can just stay there. It's only going to be about a half an hour. We can choose also sometimes going into the new year with baggage, past failures, things that we haven't accomplished that we should have. There could be offense. There could be all different things that we carry into the new year. And God is saying, you don't have to. How's it going?
Yeah, all right.
Right. But then what we do is we even carry more things into the new year. Okay. Just get down. Because you were supposed to be on the top. I forgot. Okay. You get on. Okay. Come, Stevie. Okay, just hold it, brother. We can choose to do this. I'm not responsible for any back injuries. Lord, help him. Okay, do you want to try and take a walk?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Okay, thanks, guys. Thank you. Thanks, Anton. Let's give them a hand. Believe me, how Anton was right at the end, he's not going to be effective in 2015. And it's a silly illustration, but it's true. To be effective for God, we have to forget the past. Just like the scripture says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on it. Sometimes we dwell on the past far too much. We need to look to what God's doing in the future. And I believe 2015 is a year of supernatural breakthrough. Supernatural breakthrough. Things that are so dramatic and amazing that you would have to be spiritually dead for you not to recognize that it is the Lord at work. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm believing in. And Bill Johnson says the following: if it's too good to be true, you can be assured God is involved in it. If it's too good to be true, take stock of it. Be sure God is there. God is involved in it. 2015, a year of hope. I believe God loves to release hope onto his people. And this message this morning, too, is a message of hope, that he wants to give you hope in this year. What is hope? To desire something with confident expectation of its fulfillment. I'm going to repeat that. To desire something with confident expectation of its fulfillment. What you hope for, what you've prayed for, what you seek God for, write on that piece of paper. You're hoping for it. It's an expectation. Bill Johnson describes biblical hope as the following. He says, it's the rock-solid assurance. Something wonderful is about to happen, and I am leaning into it. The rock-solid assurance that something wonderful is about to happen, and I am leaning into it. So I ask you, write down your dreams, your hopes on that piece of paper. Colossians 1:27, just to give you a scripture, it says there, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, Jesus wants us to be his imitators. He wants to be us to be Christ-like. Christ-like in every single area and facet of our lives. And as we look to 2015, we can all choose to do it. What? We can choose to do it our way, like we've done 2014 and backwards. Or we can choose to say, God, I'm doing it your way. This is a year that I'm consecrating to you in every single area. I'm doing it your way. That's a choice that we have at the beginning of a year. We cannot remain the same when we are called to bring his kingdom and make a difference within our homes, within our churches, within our businesses that the Lord's given us and blessed us with, in our families, in the neighborhoods that we serve, and in the entire world. I believe the call is to make a difference, each and every one of us. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says the following, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. He's looking right now, he's looking down on us, and he knows what you're thinking inside your heart. And my main point today is that I believe, when I was praying about the message, is that everything flows from the presence of God. Without his presence in your life, you are lost, you are destitute. Everything flows from his presence within you, your relationship with you. We all know that we had an individual, you know, if an individual encounter with God. If you are born again Christian, yeah, you've had an individual encounter with the living God, a supernatural encounter. And we owe it to the people that we serve and that are trying to reach an encounter with the living God. For this to happen, I was looking at another quote by Bill Johnson, and he said the following, is that fullness is measured by overflow. So if you're a Christian yet today, I believe God wants to overflow in your life in 2015. The fullness is measured by your overflow. When we talk to people about God, when we share his love and what he's done for us, it comes from an overflow of what he's done in our lives. Not so. So God's presence is the key. Perry Noble says the following about difference makers. He quotes the following. He says, champions aren't built on desire. They're built on discipline. And discipline is the difference between average and abundance. Champions aren't built on desire. They're built on discipline. And discipline is the difference between average and abundance. God's calling us to a disciplined walk. I believe God's calling us to a disciplined walk. Put away the distractions. Put away the distractions. I don't know if any of you have heard about the movie that's coming shortly, Unbroken, by Louis Zamperini. If we can just bring that slide up. Louis Zamperini, as you can see there, was born in 1917 to Italian immigrants. He went to school. When he first started school, he couldn't even speak English. He was bullied at school. He was knocked down. He started running. His brother encouraged him to start running. He became a runner over 5,000 meters. He was an Olympic athlete. At the Olympics, he actually met Hitler personally. As you know, the Olympics then was held in Germany in that specific year, just before the Second World War. And Hitler even shook his hand. He didn't win the race, but his last lap was the fastest amongst all of the athletes. He was a World War II bomber. He got a Purple Heart of service. And he had a dramatic time in his life where he was a prisoner of war. And they wanted him to spread propaganda and say different things over the radio about America, and he refused to do it. So as prisoner of war, he was treated the harshest amongst all the prisoners. He went through a living hell. He came back after the World War. He got married. His wife had a dramatic encounter with Jesus Christ at his Billy Graham crusade. His marriage was on the rocks. They were about to get divorced. His wife urged him to come to a crusade. He went. Just before this, after the war, he couldn't sleep at night because this torment and anguish of what he had been through just played over and over. He had no peace. He had no peace. He went to the Billy Graham crusade. He met God. He had a supernatural, powerful encounter with the living God, and that transformed his life. God dealt with him with forgiveness. He then flew back to see his captives. He forgave them. And he used to go and inspire people with his message of forgiveness. And he died at the age of 97. I just want to play the interview.
Portrait of another kind, involving a true American hero. Correspondent James Rosen has the story of Louis Zamperini.
75 summers ago, American athletes arrived in Berlin for the 1936 Olympics, presided over by Adolf Hitler. That year's sensation was track star Jesse Owens, who shattered records and Nazi claims of racial supremacy. Also competing that summer was Louis Zamperini of Torrance, California, who finished the 5,000-meter event with a stunning final sprint under Hitler's watchful eye. From his home in the Hollywood Hills, Zamperini, now 93, remembers.
I was invited to meet Hitler, and just a quick hand touch, and that was it. And he just simply said, the boy with the fast finish.
Even before Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, Louis had enlisted in the Army Air Corps. He was assigned to drop bombs from this B-24, nicknamed Superman. Based at Hawaii's Hickam Field, Louis bombed Wake Island and a phosphate plant on Nehru Island.
And we were told to flatten it. I bombed the runway and the bombers and the factory, and then I had one alternate bomb, and I dropped it on a shack that was a fuel supply. And a cloud of smoke shot in the air as high as we were, 8,000 feet.
Suddenly, Superman was being pursued by 9 Japanese fighter planes.
And we took on 600 bullet holes, 5 cannon holes, right tail shot off, left tire flattened, blood all over the plane. And we had 7 men seriously injured, got them back alive, 1 died.
Louis had narrowly escaped death, but not long after, in May 1943, he was ordered to undertake a search and rescue mission in this notoriously faulty B-24, nicknamed the Green Hornet.
And so we're flying along, and number one motor goes out. And then as we crashed, I ducked down low and held onto that raft. I knew this was it. I'm dead.
Louis and 2 crewmates survived, but 1, pilot Russell Allen Phillips, was badly wounded. Attacked by sharks and Japanese fighter planes, starving, sick, and wasting away, the trio would drift 2,000 miles on a pair of flimsy life rafts.
The tail gunner He panicked. He got on his knees and around and he started screaming, "We're going to die, we're all going to die."
In time, that tail gunner, Francis McNamara, would redeem himself by saving Louis' life. But on their 33rd day at sea, McNamara died. 14 days after that, Louis and Phillips, each down to about 80 pounds, half his body weight, were rescued by the Japanese, only to be sent to the most hellish POW camps in the Pacific. Back home, Louis, the Olympic hero of Torrance, California, was officially declared dead. But over the next 2 years, he would live through unspeakably savage cruelty at the hands of his Japanese captors and one sadistic commandant in particular, Mutsuhiro Watanabe, a.k.a. the Bird.
Well, they had nightmares on this Bird guy. I mean, if I looked away from his eyes, he punched me out for looking away. If I stared in his eyes, he punched me for staring in his eyes. Every day he did something to me. He hit me over the head with a big, probably a 2-pound steel buckle, cracked my skull open. I'm down on the ground bleeding. And he hands me a piece of toilet paper to wipe the blood. And then he says, "Oh, like, I'm sorry." And I said, "Well, he can't be so bad after all." So I wiped the blood off. I stood up, I wiped it, and I looked at it, and he hit me again.
With the end of the war, Louis would be rescued and repatriated, a national hero risen from the dead. He married and published his life story, the second time an updated version. Yet the nightmares continued, a lingering form of torture by the Bird, Watanabe, by then an accused war criminal on the run, destined to live quietly until his death in 2003. Louis, meantime, descended into alcoholism, and his wife, Cynthia, was fixing to leave him.
We were falling apart.
But then, in the fall of 1949, prompted by Cynthia, Louis attended a religious revival led by a dynamic young preacher who was delivering the gospel in a tent in Los Angeles. And there, the tormented former POW found salvation.
The Reverend Dr. Billy Graham brings the word.
There are two roads. One leads to judgment and destruction and hell, and the other leads to life in this life and life to come and heaven.
She had gone down to hear Billy Graham and gave her life over to God through Christ. So I realized what a heel I was, turned my back on God. And I went to the prayer room and made a confession of my faith in Christ, and it just, my whole life was revolutionized in a moment.
The rest of his life, Louis spent mentoring troubled youth. He would run again, carrying the torch in the 1984 Olympics, and he would return to Japan, once to forgive his old prison guards, and again in 1998 to carry the torch at the Nagano Winter Games. His story is told anew with fresh evidence and harrowing detail in the bestseller Unbroken by Laura Hillenbrand, author also of Seabiscuit. In this, his 10th decade of life, Louis Zamperini tends his garden but does not nourish the notion of himself as a hero.
Yeah, I have people call me, write me letters, "Oh, you're an inspiration." I go to the VA hospital and I see guys in wheelchairs with a leg off, two legs off, an arm off. To me, the real heroes are people that lose their limbs and things like that.
For Fox News, I'm James Rosen.
What a touching story, and you may think, why did I show you that? Is in 2015, there are going to be challenges. For me to stand here today and say everything's going to be fine, there are going to be challenges, there are going to be hardships, but it's how you stand up, it's how you cope with them, it's how much you trust God to lead you through them and carry you through them. But what a life. We celebrate his life. What a man. You know, everyone is heading towards something. Every second of the day, we are getting older. Some of us may not like that. Let me repeat that. Every second of the day, we are getting older. It's inevitable. We are getting older. We are getting closer to our day, one day when we will see the Lord. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. And we should be attempting in 2015 to reach certain goals. Could be, like I said before, in your spiritual life, in your business life, wherever it may be. But we cannot go into 2015, like I said earlier, believing the lies of the devil. He is the accuser of the brethren, the Word of God says. We have to not believe the lies, but stand up under the authority and the blood of Jesus Christ. And just three priorities in making a difference I'd just like to share with you. Priority one, your vision for the year must always be held in front of you. Your vision for the year must always be held in front of you. And God took me to a scripture Proverbs 29:18, where it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. That's from the King James. And the two main words out of that passage is vision and perish, not so. And vision, many view the word vision as a clear goal or mission. However, I looked up in the Hebrew context of the word, and vision actually means a revelation from God. So I believe in 2015, a revelation, a constant revelation from God needs to go before us. Your vision for the year must always be held in front of you. If you need fresh vision, get fresh revelation. And then perish. I looked at the word perish. And the word also means throwing off restraint. The word is the same used in Exodus 32:25. As you know, went up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. But what did the people do? They started making and worshipping a golden calf. And that means throwing off restraint. That's the verse I believe is calling us and saying to us, where there is no message from God, where there's no message going before us, the people throw off all moral and ethical and religious restraint. So what happens is we go back to default setting. Default setting. So the verse is powerful in the following points I just want to raise up. Teaching us that a consistent message or revelation from God is needed if we are going to overcome the human tendency to throw off restraint and do what we desire ourselves. It's a warning to us also, Christians, to make sure that we are delving into the Word of God constantly for fresh revelation and a life that expects God's supernatural power to work on a consistent basis. And then priority two, if we can just bring up priority two. Priority two, the heading there is run your race to the full. Run your race to the full. And we know the scripture well. It's just one or two things I want to highlight from there. It's 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27. And if we look at Louis's life, he's a prime example of how he ran his race well. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. Our race in 2015 has a purpose. Our calling and gifting God has given us in advance is to run this race with endurance. I believe if we train like the Lord calls us to, spiritual training, we are disciplined, we train well, we prepare, and we will grow. We run with a vision in mind, the prize that God has called us heavenward for. And we never give up. We are determined and we are focused. And then priority three, which is one of the main ones I believe, is we need to be people that stay passionate. God desires passion. He wants all of us. He wants us to be passionate. Mark 11:30 says, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your passion, all the prayer and intelligence and energy that you have. That's in the message. Love the Lord your God with everything, with all your passion. And the word passion in the Greek is a word heart. So God is saying, love me with all of your passion, with all your heart. It's the same word. So I believe we need to put some muscle into it. We need to put some energy into it. We need to put some emotion into our relationship with God. We cannot be wishy-washy. Please don't be a wimp concerning your relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't be half-hearted. Give it all you've got. And I believe God is saying to us in this verse, this is my interpretation of it. If you're going to follow me, you've got to go for it with passion and purpose and drive. You've got to give it some oomph. You've got to give it some spark. You've got to give it some zip, some enthusiasm, some zest. I want you to live for me passionately. So in closing, I believe God is saying to us, we need to seek him with everything that we have. Colossians 3:23 says the following, whatever you do, do it with all your heart, with all your passion, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Whatever you do, do it with everything. I believe in 2015, in closing, God wants to turn your frustration into fruitfulness. If you're frustrated today about certain things, He wants to turn that around into fruitfulness. He wants to turn your confusion into clarity. God is a God of clarity. He's not the God of confusion. Whatever He does is for a purpose and a plan to bring His kingdom. So my challenge to you today is get off the sidelines and step into the race that God has planned for you. Make a difference to a dying world that needs you to bring His message. Amen.